The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 12:50pm. I say all, we've got just the one meeting due to the equine flu situation. There is just racing over in Ireland on Saturday. We've got a full card to look forward to at Nace, though. Gordon Brown and Paddy Aspel will be joining you for that. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined in the studio by Andrew Mount. How are you, Andrew?
I'm okay, thanks, Mark.
Got much less to talk about than we normally would.
Yes. Yeah. I've seen a few films recently, so I can give you a few reviews of those if you like.
I saw that you you went to a certain establishment to watch a film last night, as we recalled this, and it took them a very long time to bring you food or something.
Yeah, that's right. There were about six people preparing the pizzas in the kitchen, but one order, which was mine, and nothing emerged for some time, and the film was about to start when I had to go and kick someone up the backside.
What film did you go see?
Vice.
Any good?
Yeah, absolutely. Recommended.
Good, a glowing endorsement there. Anyway, obviously the reason we have no UK racing is because of the equine flu, which is already, we're going to miss 6 days of racing, the biggest crisis in racing since the foot and mouth outbreak back in 2001. So
you weren't even born then, Mark.
I was, but I wasn't much of a racing fan back then. I was 12 years old.
Right.
So I wasn't allowed to gamble.
You can be a racing fan without gambling.
I used to watch Saturday racing, but that was it. Back at that age, you'd go around to my granddad's on a Saturday. We'd have fish and chips and watch the racing.
So I have fond memories of going to my granddad's and sitting on the arm of his chair and watching the ITV7 back in the day. So, I was working full-time in a non-racing industry back in 2001, working in the footwear industry, and I remember getting the money back from all my anti-post Cheltenham bets, mm-hmm. because they were classed as non-runners, and adding up the stakes and feeling like I'd won a few quid.
Yeah.
It was just my own money back with no interest. So it shows you I was betting a lot bigger in those days, I think, than I am now.
Yes. Obviously, for those of you that weren't watching racing or don't remember, back then it was delayed until April, wasn't it? And then they still couldn't get the festival on. So
yeah, there was
had no festival at all.
There were still bits and pieces of racing. I think we lost about sort of 10 days in a row from late February to early March. And then it was just the odd meeting here and there. But I remember Aytree coming round and everyone thinking, those horses who've had a recent run will be massively favoured because they'll be fit. But if you'd bet everything at Aintree that had had a run within the last 4 weeks, you'd have lost plenty, because two winners from 78 runners, minus £69 to a £1 stake. If you bet everything had been off the track for longer than 4 weeks, you'd have made a profit. So it just goes to show how easy it is to get horses fit at home nowadays compared to the old days of the 70s and 80s.
That is an interesting point you make there, though, because there's already been people talking about how we have the, you know, UK versus Ireland Prestbury Cup at the festival, and given that Ireland are able to carry on racing whilst the UK can't, that swings the things in their favour.
Things are in their favour anyway, and have been for several years now, so I wouldn't worry too much about that. But if you can get you get 10 to 11 Ireland, jump on.
I'll try and find the price of that while we just have a little bit more of a chat, because there's obviously been different messages over the last few days. I mean, when the news broke that more than 100 yards had been put into lockdown by the BHA, Nicky Henderson and trainers saying this could be an absolute disaster, we could be without racing for weeks, months, you know, that kind of
That's
scenario.
Helpful, isn't it?
Yeah. But thankfully, if it's correct, what the BHA are thinking, Nick Ruster's made a statement saying that the quick action taken over the equine flu means that we might only be restricted to just a few weeks at most, which is encouraging, very encouraging news.
That's right. Nick Ruster was on ITV's Good Morning Britain on Friday, And he says, because of the quick action taken, he praised Donald McCain for reporting those positive tests so quickly as well. You know, he reckons it will be a few weeks at most, quote unquote. Now, let's hope it's the shorter end of that. We'll know a lot more on Monday when there'll be another BHA statement.
Found that price, by the way. 4-5 Ireland with William Hill. Great Britain, 11-8. 6-1 for the tie.
I'll be tempted by 4-5.
It's not a bad, but I thought they'd be shorter than that, to be honest.
Yeah, so did I.
Anyway, that's by the by.
I mean, the Ireland will have fewer runners than Britain.
Yes.
You'll be talking about most of them being near the head of the market. So you were thinking of the dominance of Gordon Elliott last year.
Yes. I mean, it's just guessing and so on and so forth. But, you know, the horses that were down to run this weekend, some pretty big names in there as well, you know, the likes of Native River and such. Do you think they'll try and rearrange races, or do you think they'll try and get other runs into their horses, or will it just be a case of, well, we'll just have to go to the festival fresh then?
Yeah, I would imagine there'll be sort of additional sort of, you know, conditions races put on, which will be framed basically for Nicky Henderson and for the likes of Altior.
Well, hopefully.
I was going to say, going back to that 2001 foot and mouth outbreak, they did try to have the Cheltenham Festival in April, and then there was a sort of further case reported. I think it was on the in the 1st of April, coincidentally, at Cheltenham, and then they abandoned plans for a 17th to 19th of April festival after Aintree, which would have been an odd.
It would, wouldn't it? Yeah. They tried a few things, didn't they? They obviously were going to move it to the back end of April or middle of April. They also talked about potentially running races at other racetracks, the championship races.
Yep.
Obviously never came to light. And if you look through the history books, 2001, no race, it says, which I don't think we've seen since the war prior to that. For
you sound as though you were there.
No, during the war. But yeah, hopefully we don't get any of that, anything of that serious nature for this year's festival. While we're on the subject of festival races, we mentioned the Prestbury Cup betting there. Any stats that you've dug out while you've been bored and waiting for racing to happen for this year's renewal?
I mean, this is the time of year you start sort of, you know, looking at the festival and just, you know, various patterns. One of them I quite like stat-wise is one of the handicaps, the Per Temps final. Looking at last time out winners who've had a relatively recent outing within 6 weeks, if you'd bet those blind over the years, you'd make a decent profit. And seven winners from 48 runners, a strike rate of almost 15%, a profit of £43.50 to a £1 level stake. So when you sort of can whittle that down further by looking at the younger horses as well. So recent good form does tend to come to the fore in the Per Temps final. As for sort of anti-post bets, I've not had any at the moment, but I'm particularly interested in Battle Over Doyen for the Ballymore hurdle. This one was a rare maiden hurdle winner to make the leap to grade one hurdle winner in one go when scoring last time out. That was impressive. I think he's 5-1 second favourite for that race at the moment.
Yeah, behind Champ.
And I was also quite interested in the Stayers hurdle. Now, Paisley Park is a worthy favourite at 7-4, but West Approach, the horse who's followed him home the last twice, could be a bit of each-way value at the 33-1 mark. Now, he's only ever won left-handed and in small fields. Now, he went into the tracker earlier this season when sort of placing from the front in a big field handicap chase at Cheltenham, and I thought, well, he's definitely one to side with, you know, when he can dominate, perhaps in the Cotswold chase or something like that. But things didn't pan out for him next time, and he reverted to hurdles in the long walk, going the wrong way round at Ascot. But that tendency to want to go left helped in the straight because he ended up on the better ground towards the standside rail. Finished second at 40-1, a couple of lengths behind Paisley Park. And he also filled that same runner-up position behind Paisley Park at Cheltenham last time in the Cleve hurdle. So you think if he, you know, does turn up at Cheltenham, there's cut in the ground. If the field cuts up as well, then West Approach each way without the favourite or in a forecast with Paisley Park makes plenty of appeal.
Big price runner at the moment, 33-1 in the betting with us here at William Hill. You also gave a mention to the Per Temps and some of the trends that apply to that. We're a fifth of the places fifth of the places, five places, a fifth of the odds for the Potemps and all the handicaps at the Cheltenham Festival as well. So a chance to get an extra place on your side there. One year we haven't mentioned, and you might not have an opinion on, so if you don't, fair enough, but the Champion Hurdle, a lot has been made of that this week, that Apples Jade may now be, or will now be, rerouted to the Champion Hurdle as it stands. Bouvardair 15-8, Apples Jade 9-4, 7-2 Larina. Sharjah is 11s, 14s Verdana Blue and 16s bar those. Do you think she's, it's been, you know, the talk has been, oh, Apples Jade's going to the Champion Hurdle, now she'll go and win that. Do you fall into that belief?
It's not as simple as that, is it?
It's not, is it?
It's very difficult to win a Champion Hurdle, and it's not as though every year there's a short price favourite who turns up and walks it. And you know, bear in mind, she has been beaten in the Mayor's Hurdle last year. Mm. And that's meant to be a penalty kick. She was the 2-1 on favourite. She's finished third. Okay, she's not beaten a million miles. But, I mean, I actually tipped the runner-up. I'm not after timing here. This is one of my Cheltenham preview night picks, Midnight Tour, who was 66-1 on the morning of the race, finished second by half a length at 33s. That was quite a difference between first and second on that race for me. So, yeah, she's certainly not bomb-proof. Okay, she's been impressive, and she's been winning over 2 miles to 3 miles. But it was only, you know, there were only six runners at Leopardstown last time. Super Sunday is another one who stays 3 miles. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't as though she was beating an out-and-out two-miler. You know, yes, she was impressive. The time was good. I mean, Mellon has proved very disappointing. I think since he's been gelded, he's only won one of his 9 starts. So it wasn't exactly a deep race. And, you know, having gone to the festival and been beaten at short odds last year, I'd certainly be looking to, you know, take her on when we sort of know more about the shape of the race nearer the time. Mm. And I think on the day you'll be looking at something each way at a price to try and upset the pair of the market leaders, Bouvardair and Apples Jade.
Does Bouvardair get the credit he deserves? He's a dual champion hurdle winner. He's only lost once in about 18 months or something.
There's been some rubbish written about Bouvardair this year when you know, when he say he's finally got the credit he deserves. I think he's, you know, he's always had the credit he deserves. He's perhaps he hasn't caught the public imagination, maybe because the name's not particularly as catchy as Denman, for example, or some of the previous champion hurdle winners. You know, he's certainly not as popular as Isterbrack was when he was at his peak and winning multiple champion hurdles. I guess looking at his profile and the number of times he's won, you know, he's just not a total sort of public horse and a favourite horse of many people. He's never going to be a desert orchid, I think. Mm. But yeah, in terms of his record, very hard to argue, isn't it?
What does he have to do?
He got short-headed by, you know, he got short-headed by Verdana Blue at Kempton, but you have to go back to March 2016 to find his last defeat, and that was when third to Altior. So yeah, he's a top class individual. He's still only 8, and you'd say, I think the betting's right having him ahead of Apples Jade at the moment, who we still don't know for sure is going to run. Just because somebody said last week that we think Apples Jade is going to go for the Champion Hurdle doesn't mean they might not change their mind on the day. It might depend on the ground. If it looks like being on the quick side, you know, here's a horse who stays 3 miles, they might think, we'll wait for we'll go for the longer distance race instead.
Yeah, so plenty of water to go under the bridge there as well, because we don't know if Lorena's going to turn up in the Champion Hurdle or elsewhere as well, and obviously if she does, she plays a big part in it as well. She's 72 third favourites as it stands. Anyway, let's leave the anti-post stuff alone and the festival for a while, and let's concentrate on the racing that we do have coming up on Saturday. We've got a card at Nace that includes a few good races. One of them is a listed race. It's the 210, and that's the Opera Hat Mares Chase, and Prava Laguna is the 4-7 market leader at the time of recording this. 5-1 for Synopsis, 8-1 for Bay Desile. Mrs. Lovett is 8-1 as well, along with Teacher's Pet. 40s for Echoes of Family, and Miss Titanic is 100-1. Short price favourite to start with. Yeah. Andrew, what do you make of Prava Laguna?
Yeah, she was impressive last time out. That was when scoring by 8 lengths on yielding to soft ground at Limerick on the 29th of December. That was her first run for several months, and only her second one over fences. And the other one was defeat on yielding ground at Killarney in May when the 5-4 favourite. Now, the ground is going to be much closer to the speed it was on her chase debut back in May, you know, when she was slammed by 24 lengths despite attracting market support. So you just, you know, worry slightly. And in terms of her overall strike rate, you know, it's not supersonic. And her two previous wins for Willie Mullins have been followed by comprehensive defeats. She won a maiden hurdle at Navan and then was beaten 32 lengths next time when only 7-2. And she won at Punchestown last April, but then, as I say, was beaten at Killarney next time, beaten 24 lengths, albeit on her chase debut. So with the ground perhaps quicker than preferred, with her having won a not particularly strong race last time out, I mean, there was, I think, 12 set out that day and only 6 finished. Okay, she wasn't favourite. She beat the 5-4 favourite into second, but that one was trained by Dennis Hogan. It wasn't like a sort of, you know, Gordon Elliott hot pot or another Mullins runner. So I just think I'd rather take a chance and take her on here. And the one I'm going to do it with is the current 5-1 second favourite, Synopsis, for Gordon Elliott. Now, Synopsis was pulled up last time out in that listed mare's chase at Huntingdon, behind Happy Diva, a welcome winner for Kerry Lee, who's really been struggling this season. Magic of Light, the even money favourite that day, was a length back in second. Magic of Light was given a bit of an odd ride that day, got into a fierce battle for the early lead with Marion Star when didn't really need to, and kept trying to get ahead back in front to break that one, but the effort took its toll, and then she stayed on again. So I thought perhaps Happy Diva was a shade fortunate that day, given the way the runner-up was ridden, but that's by the by. Synopsis was 8-1 and was never travelling, jumped out to her left and was tailed off, lost her action, you know, weak in the betting that day. But I think the key is the clue in her jumping there. She needs to go left-handed. Now, at the time before, she was a 10-length winner in Handicap Chase Company at Cheltenham on the 14th of December, the last time she went left-handed. Richard Johnson on board that day, and she had to lug 12 stone round, conceding weight to all her rivals. And if you just bet a blind on left-handed tracks in a career, you would make a profit, 2 wins from 8 starts. Now, I find Nace form interchangeable with Navan, another left-handed track in Ireland. Unlike in Britain, there are more right-handed tracks than left-handed ones in Ireland. And you often find, if you can find a horse who's got winning form at Nace, Navan, Leopardstown, for example, then it can be an advantage when they're running on one of those tracks again. So I'd certainly take the left-handed form of Synopsis, the second favourite at 5-1, to upset Prava Laguna.
I need to mention, or I'd like to mention, Bader's Isle in here as well, Andrew. More known for running in staying chasers, you know, as running the likes of the Grand National and such in the past. Probably needs closer to 4 miles than 2 miles. So on that reason, you think, why is it in this 2 mile mare's chase? Then you look at the jockey booking. Ruby Walsh rides her instead of the Willie Mullins favourite. Ruby Walsh, of course, brother-in-law to Ross O'Sullivan. And it all kind of makes you wonder whether 2 and 2 is going to make 4, or whether I'm reading too much into it, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that because Paul Townend was on Prava Laguna last time out when winning at Limerick, that's the reason he retains the ride. In fact, if you look at Prava Laguna's form, Paul Townland's only ridden her 3 times, second, first and first, whereas Ruby's record not so good. He did win a maiden hurdle. She did win a maiden hurdle under Ruby, but has fallen when he's been on board as well. So you know, maybe it's just a case of a change of jockey. I mean, it's Ruby's full record on the horse: first, fourth, fell, third, fell. So 2 falls from the last 3 times Ruby's been on board. Maybe that's something to do with it as well. And but yeah, Bader's Isle, you would think, has been laid out for the Grand National again. All the, you know, the Irish National, the big staying events in the spring, was pulled up in the Welsh National when last seen. That's a race she'd won well. She'd run well in previously, finishing a 23-length fifth to Native River in the 2016 renewal, when a 25-1 shot. So I would imagine she's not going to do a great deal. Plug on, perhaps, and then, you know, wait for the national weights to come out. Then we might see more of her when she stepped back up in trip.
Okay, line on Bader's Isle there, but the selection is Synopsis for Andrew Mount in that 2.10 at Nace. We move on to the 3.10 at Nace, which is a handicap chase over 2.5 miles. We've got a field of 11 set to go to post for this one. 5-1 the field as well. You've picked a fairly open race this time. Velocity Boy 5-1, 11-2 Peculiar Genius, Roaring Bull 11-2, 6-1 for Bilbo Baggins, 7-1 for Nelly Pledge, and 7s for Squamia or something like that, and 8-1 our bigger prizes for the rest.
Well done for having a stabber at him anyway. I talked about like sort of left-handed tracks in Ireland, and generally with chases at Naas, I like to look for course form. Now, there aren't any course winners in this particular lineup, but the one I'm drawn to is Bilbo Baggins for Adrian Murray. Been off the track for 105 days since finishing second at Galway last October, and but has shown form after a break before. And I do like the fact that he's got form going left-handed. He was a winner at Navan in March 2017. And has gone well at this time of year before. It seems sort of fairly versatile with underfoot conditions. Got plenty of sort of placed form on sort of yielding ground. And I just thought that on the back of that sort of decent effort last time out, albeit 105 days ago, that Bilbo Baggins might give us a sort of run for our money each way here, but it wouldn't have been as strong a fancy as Synopsis, who would be the nap of the two.
Okay, Bilbo Baggins at 6-1 in that 3-10 at Naas, but the stronger fancy Synopsis in the 2-10. Thank you very much, Andrew. Been a pleasure speaking to you once again. Very best of luck and enjoy the small amount of racing we have.
Yeah, thanks very much, Mark. I'll see you in September when racing's back on.
Yes, good stuff. That is Andrew Mount then. Hopefully we will have UK racing back shortly, but we still have Irish racing to get stuck into on William Hill Racing Radio. So the show goes on. We're live from 12:50 p.m. with Gordon Brown and Paddy Aspel in the studio. We've got that full card at Naas to get stuck into, so do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.